It is AFQ. It's Neil Atkinson with Kelly Forshaw, not Horsham. The autocorrect is yet again.
What would Atkinson autocorrect to?
I don't think it does.
Doesn't it?
I think
it's quite probably won't because it's your own name and it'll know. That yeah. Your phone will know.
My phone thinks I'm my sister. Every time I go, it says, "Hello, Helen." And I'm like, "Well, will you pack that in?"
I thought you meant, like, in real life.
No, but it says, when I go on it, it says, "Hello, Helen." And then it gives me all my sister's details and thinks that's the way I'm.
Annoying, isn't it? I've got an autocomplete that does me old address and it's doing me head and I can't really figure out how to get rid of it.
I did that.
It's so annoying.
I sent an Ocado order to my old address that I've not lived in for 2 years.
I've done that.
And they were like, "We're outside." I'm like,
"Done that with the takeaway before."
Oh, wasn't good.
Yeah. Well, it is. So I am sorry.
Yeah. Apology accepted.
Yeah. It's a difficult situation. Horsham is a place, I think, in London, isn't it?
No, it's near Brighton.
Near Brighton. Of course it is. Yes. Yes. You go past it on the way to Brighton.
It's down that way.
Yeah. So it just, for some reason, obviously, my phone must have thought I'm. I don't think I've ever.
Yeah, it's below London.
Yeah, you see it on the way to Brighton. Now. Yeah, you found it there. Yeah, it's not that far from the ground. It's that sort of by Crawley sort of area. Anyway, so yeah, that's you.
There we go.
Yeah, Kelly. In general, though, I want to have a chat to you about infrastructure.
Okay.
How are you feeling?
Yeah. Oh, I went down. Are you talking about the stadium? Sorry?
Yeah, yeah.
It'd be really funny if there was some other infrastructure. Yeah.
What do you think about the flyover?
Yeah.
What do you think about Rice Lane flyover? Yeah.
I went down to a hospitality test event. I don't have hospitality like thing, but my mate works there, so I went down and then and it was, the food was really nice.
Great.
Very nice. The main thing was this was a couple of weeks ago, so it was like July, and like walking down, the wind was like, I felt like I was on, like, stood on the Mersey. Do you know what I mean?
Yep.
And I thought, what is this going to be like in January? Do you know what I mean? Did you think
I went to a gig in the Invisible Wind Factory, I think it was.
In
January, like maybe last, like 18 months, last January. And I couldn't believe how bad it was. Like 7 o'clock on a Friday night walking up and I was like, This is mental.
When you're inside the stadium, as in when you're in the seats, it's like, there was not one bit, but it's that walk into it.
Like which, these maids.
Like down the sides, it's like, and I was like, because
it's like a big building, so it's creating this tunnel with where the wind's going.
Exactly, because it wasn't a wind, it wasn't, I mean, it was a little bit windy that day, but it wasn't like windy, and then it felt like you were stood.
Right on, up the river as well.
But anyway, we will see. But I was very impressed, by the way, when I went in. So I did feel very.
Was
like,
the
positive.
Smell from the sewage factory bad?
No,
not from the sewage factory. You know, like what I mean.
Yeah, yeah. No. But like the actual
plant.
What's quite like breathtaking? Like you walk in and it's like, I don't know how to explain it, but it's like each one views the river and one views the pitch.
Yeah.
And it's quite like awe-inspiring. Yeah. When you're in this, do you get what I mean? I don't know.
It's been well designed for that kind of
the aesthetic of
experience
that
experience.
Like, exactly, and just all of the just the vibe about it. It is really nice.
I'd like to have a look around.
Yeah, you should.
It'll be tours, won't it? If you want to
see what it's like.
But so how are you going to get the game? Because this is obviously controversial amongst the Blues at the
it's
minute.
It's very controversial, I think.
Test event this weekend.
Test event with Rumour, and that's the test event for like obviously full capacity, but also. And the hospitality and everything, all of the other things around it. But the main, obviously, talking point is getting into said stadium. And I think, I honestly think, I don't know if I should say this, but because I was talking to someone, we were talking about like parking and whatever, and I was like, I'd just get a parking ticket, me.
Yep. No, that's. I mean, that is
like I know
part
a lot of people
go into games.
I'm like the logistics of either getting dropped off, getting stuck somewhere, getting whatever. Like, I would. That would be number one. But I live right by a train station. Get the train and then obviously walk. And I feel like people. I think, weirdly, earlier on, I feel like it's actually when it's probably going to get into the season that it's going to become a little bit more of an issue. Obviously, the weather's going to be different.
Yeah.
People will be getting to the game later because they're not as like excited about the stadium, whatever. And then they're just going to be getting there. Do you get like as they normally would? So I don't know. I honestly don't know. But I'm like, it's not. I'm just glad that it's not my responsibility.
I think the hard thing is from the outside. forget the, you know, whether or not it's far to walk or not and all that sort of stuff town. I think you can sort of say it is, the distances from town is what it is. I think the funny thing is there's just not much around that feels like it's around. So I think you're either, what will be in people's heads, I think there'll still be loads of Blues who will have the attitude to walk up to County Road and walk down.
Yes.
There'll be a lot of that. Then there'll be, we'll go our end of town and walk in.
Yes.
But I think for people who might think, well, you know what, certainly if the weather's a certain way on a day, let's get close, have a few, sit off, do whatever before we go in. I think that one of the problems is going to be at some point they're going to have, more stuff's going to have to open up around that ground, I think, in order for there to be...
We'll do eventually, though.
I think there will be an organic thing, but I think that at the minute that there isn't that halfway house and it's not currently...
There's like the Bramley Moor and that's it, pretty much.
Well, it's not that... Well, yeah. There's Murphy's...
There's a few opening up.
And I think the Invisible Wind Factory might end up doing something. But I think you almost need a few more to sort of pop up, because I think you need a little bit, you need the idea that people are getting there in waves rather than, because I think what could happen at the minute is loads could walk at around the same time, loads could get the train at around the same time, loads could drive at around the same time. There needs to be a bit more, as you say, when the initial novelty passes, there needs to be a bit more of a reason for people to be phased getting in there across 3 hours.
The ale price
I was just going to say, interestingly, and it's just occurred to me then, I'm like, maybe this was strategic on their part, on like the owner's part, but they've like, they've got like a fan village thing inside the stadium when they've got like restaurants and whatever, and they, I think, will stay open till like midnight and stuff, like after the game, like staying open till late.
Yeah.
So they obviously...
Like this, Brighton too. Like,
they're trying to create this culture
within,
where
within the venue
you
itself.
You stay within the stadium after the game. Now that's going to be a big shift in culture, and it's going to take a while for like people to adopt that. If that's they do,
be great for the derby.
it's good the way you can basically walk all the way round inside, but that helps that, because you can go and see mates who sit in different stands or whatever. Like, you can sit literally on the opposite side of the ground with someone and say,
it's very
I'll meet you at this exit. It is like Brighton in that respect.
But like, as well, like, you can stay open here because it's not really a residential area in the same way. So you've got like that.
Yeah, and I think maybe they're trying to be like, maybe if it is such chaos to like get away, people will go, we may as well just stay here and have a bevy and have food and whatever, and then it all kind of, do you know, I don't know whether that's like an intentional thing of from the, like, the management are trying to like push people in that way to stay because it's an easier option, do you know what I mean, or an easier option to get there well earlier.
Well, it's selling a whole match day experience, isn't it? That's all part of what the club is selling, essentially.
Yeah.
So, you know, you don't
at
have
least
to,
they've put stuff in place in terms of those options there, but it's just whether people will do that, or like you said, it's going to be absolute carnage if everyone just comes at the same time, or they want to stick to what their normal routine was.
No, I think it's dead interesting, because that's what I like Brighton as an away, and what Brighton do when you do the away is they open the whole ground up after. Like, I've walked into sort of loungy bar type bits of Brighton with the Brighton supporters afterwards, because Brighton, it literally is like, it's a proper train away. It's like a proper, like, four stops on a proper train, if you know what I mean. It's not like a you know, it's a good sort of, how many miles is it, Phil? Probably about 6 or 7 miles, isn't it?
Four or five.
So it's pro- you can't, it's like, yeah, can't walk.
It's like 10 minutes on the train from Brighton.
So you can't walk. It's not one stop. It's like four stops, and you can't walk it.
It's basically like it's in probably by the Strand, equivalent to town, I would say.
But it's that they open the whole ground up afterwards, and you can walk around and have a couple of drinks and do bits and pieces. They do get a bit like, can you just fuck off now, please?
Yeah.
we wear booted out of both the away end and the home end, in fairness.
We wear booted out of the away end and the home end, yes.
And then I think we chose to leave the fan zone when some people started getting really weird.
Yeah, there's some Brighton supporters did get a bit weird with us.
They thought we were taking the game of football very seriously.
They were.
And there was one of them genuinely doing crying motions at me.
Yeah, because we'd lost.
We'd lost 3-2. We'd won the league 2 weeks, literally 2 weeks, 3 weeks earlier. We won the league 3 weeks ago. And he was acting, there were like three of them. They were probably only like 20 or something.
Yeah, they were
young lads. Were genuinely acting like it was a cup quarter final or something. And it was obviously a big game for them, but we were like,
they were obviously made up to beat you, but it's like, there was nothing.
We just had a lovely time.
You just were enjoying yourselves.
We'd literally gone to the seaside. That was our
basically on holiday.
I think it's interesting.
And spades.
I think it is interesting. I do wonder that is. I didn't know that they were doing that with the ground, so that could be, and it could be a good thing.
They need
on the whole.
Need to make the beer cheaper than the that image that was leaked today, if that's what they're planning, because I don't think people are going to stay around. Well, if it was £5 a pint, people would stay around, wouldn't they? But if it's £7 a pint...
£7 a pint!
There's a thing. They've sort of said it's only, like, the prices at the match on Sunday.
Yeah. Well, Brighton used to do something where they had, like, local brewers and stuff. They don't do that as much.
I've had a pint of Canes in the Canes at Brighton before.
Yeah, you can get Cask in there and stuff like that.
But you don't want to be doing that for a pint of Foster's, like, £7 for a pint of Foster's.
No, I think it was the St. Michael, which we strongly disapprove of at all times.
The what?
The St. Michael. San Miguel.
Oh, yeah, bad.
Bad.
Bad game.
Yeah, but anyway, we'll say you'll have to keep us informed.
Are you going
on Sunday?
I'm not going on Sunday now.
Because it's Saturday for a start.
Well, it's Saturday, sorry.
I'm just making sure you don't get on trains at the wrong time. That's all I'm doing.
Yeah.
It wasn't a pedantry point. It was a general interest.
What time is it?
3 o'clock. Saturday 3.
3 o'clock. But I've got to come into town at some point tomorrow, so I've got to bear that in mind. Yeah.
That is, yeah.
Because my friend's coming up to mine at 5. So it might be a bit.
Yeah.
Honestly, Kel, it's genuinely like, I think. In general, it's dead easy being the fella who hosts the Anfield app and everyone's dead nice. But there's times I'll get on a Mersey rail when you were playing at Goodison and I'll be on there and suddenly I'm just really conscious of loads of people elbowing each other going... and I'll just be sort of sat there like, oh, for fuck's sake.
Yeah.
That's what David Bowie, when he was thinking he was going to get recognised, he used to do that and carry a Greek newspaper. So people would be like, looks like David Bowie, but he can't be because he's Greek. He's reading a Greek newspaper.
Well, maybe I'll start doing that when the Blues are playing at home.
Just finally, yeah, with a copy of Pravda.
Yeah.
Yeah.
maybe, but then people are like, is that him carrying a Greek newspaper?
Didn't know he's from Greek.
that way around. So yeah, I do need to bear it in mind. I've got to come into town tomorrow, so I will bear it in mind. Actually, I need to time you run with the blue contingent. I might just end up getting a fucking taxi here to Lime Street from the sound of this. Anyway. Let's keep us informed.
I don't think they got the bus. Get the bus.
I think they're going to get the bus from town.
No, they won't get the bus from Crosby.
No, they won't get the bus from Crosby. But I think they're going to get the bus from town, which is what I think Load should do. I think the bus could be a smart move. You can get out to Liverpool One. The Bridewell, we're talking about it today, because the Bridewell obviously want people to go to the Bridewell, but also it's a solidly blue pub.
Yes.
The Bridewell. Doesn't mean it's bad. It's actively good, the Bridewell, but it's a blue pub. And they were saying, come here and then you get the bus from Liverpool One. Yeah.
Is the bus like go down the Dock Road?
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah,
it'll go close, and we're putting special ones on as well. So it'll be that. Yeah, I'm just intrigued to see how it all plays out. I have to come on in a month or so. Give us a review.
Really big zip line. Did you do that, Kel?
I was.
I
reckon. 100%.
I reckon you're going to think about setting it up yourself.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Bit of you that.
I feel like a zip line. Yeah, that would be really good.
Honestly, Blues descending in, coming down from the city. Honestly, just a series
over the top. You go from the top of the line building.
Yeah, you could
even get the players like onto the pitch with the zip line from the line.
It's an insurance risk, but let's go for it.
Yeah,
Tarkovsky's out. You don't want to know why.
Yeah.
The harness didn't work.
David Moyes eating his crisps.
Imagine if like you put people on though, like because it's so long, you'd have to put them on like at. While people were still on the zip line.
Get stuck in the middle.
Imagine.
You've got to go with your legs out like this.
Maybe it's cable cars.
Same idea.
The same thing. Cable cars all the way down. It's skiing.
Like a skiing one. And then you jump on and, you know, like just a
Towers. Jump
like
on the seat onto the,
like the Alton Towers when you go around on the little cable car.
Monorail.
I think that'll be fun.
The monorail on Towers kind of is, isn't it?
There's a monorail in the car park.
It's the gate.
All right, Kel can fill back in after two homes. We'll get her back in after two homes and you can tell us how she thinks it's gone. We'll go from there. All right, we've got our questions. John McDicko asks this. In fact, I'll go to you first. All right, Kel, how much bread is too much bread in one day? He says he fucking loves bread.
I love bread as well.
I love bread.
Who doesn't love bread?
Mo Salah.
I feel like, like athletes don't love bread because it is not good for you. Sourdough is arguably better for you.
Is it?
Yeah, because it's like
it's not processed.
It's fermented, isn't it?
Yeah.
So it's like it's actually a lot better for your gut than just.
That's great because I like sourdough.
Oh, good. Yeah, no, it is actually much better for you. So if you're going to eat bread, eat sourdough, as a health thing.
I once tried to pack bread in, and after 3 days, the headaches were too bad. I was just like, I've got to get back on the bread here big time.
Yeah.
I've tried to go cold turkey, it's done me in.
I love garlic bread, and I love Like, I don't eat a lot of bread, by the way. Like, I do try to avoid it. But if I'm having, like, any type of, like, eggs or breakfast-type food, I cannot not have toast or, like, sourdough toast. Do you know what I mean? Yeah. I feel like breakfast is the one where I really struggle the most with not having bread.
No, fair enough.
So how much is too much?
How much is too much?
I mean, I'm going to say, let's say, in one day, I wouldn't have more than two slices of bread in one day.
Fucking hell. You're quite harsh on the bread. I'm impressed.
I'd say a loaf.
I'd say a loaf.
What?
I'm the same as that.
Do you agree with that?
I try and stop it. Like, unless the only way I would go past that is if I'm on pasta and I've got garlic bread, but I will never I will never have, like, toast and then a butty as well.
Yeah, that's too much.
It's too much bread for me. For me personally,
that's all right. No, I'm impressed with your discipline.
Yeah, depends on the individual, I suppose. But
I'm just as a man who genuinely, like, is my carb of
the
choice is bread.
Maybe would you argue bread? Pizza is bread.
But yeah, but at the same time, you sort of have to. It's different.
What about naan bread with a curry?
Oh God!
Again, that falls into the garlic bread category.
Yeah, but like, I still bread.
Yeah, but I'm not having. It's like a treat, isn't it? Effectively,
yeah,
I'm not having a curry every day.
No.
Okay. Not with that attitude, you know.
It's a shame, really. I could very much eat curry every day.
How much bread's too much bread?
Probably a loaf. Bread is like the main thing for me, and I would, unlike Phil, although I don't especially like sandwiches. I'll only have a sandwich if I've made it myself, because I don't like, they've always got mayonnaise in them or something horrible. Lettuce. What are you doing that for? But
a staple sandwich filling, some would argue.
One thing I thought about
BLT
the other day, right?
In the fucking bin.
Toast and butter, I think, it's neither savoury nor sweet. It's like an in-between. It's kind of like a literal sort of, it's its own thing.
White bread, 100%.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think even with brown bread, though, because you could have butter, you could have it with Marmite, or you could have it with jam. Like,
oh, yeah.
Like, so the bread with
sweet.
The butter is, it's neither thing. It's like newborn. It doesn't have it doesn't have anything on it, any expectations. But I love, like, all, I mean, I'd feel bad saying I had one favourite type of bread, because I love all of them.
And I'm the judge.
Yeah,
your hypocrisy. The other breads would be all over you.
Yeah, I'd be too sad about the other breads. But I'd happily, like, if I had an option to have, like, I don't know, a burger or something, rather than having like for me, rice and pasta is a waste of not having bread. I would just rather have the bread.
Okay.
And I did once try not having wheat-free bread. I did about a month. Like, it potentially, I did lose a bit of weight, but I was so unhappy.
And the headaches.
Yeah, and it just was like.
My bread thing that I'm trying to move into, and it is difficult because my problem with sourdough is I love sourdough.
Yeah.
But you've got to toast it.
Yeah.
If you don't toast it, it's nowhere near as nice and really cloggy and all this sort of stuff. So I don't enjoy it. So if you need to be quick, I like to have a bit of bread in the house just in case I need to be quick. But I'm trying as much as possible to commit to the sourdough thing. I didn't even know it was healthier, but it was more, if I'm going to cop for the bread, what it turned into was, why don't I just get the best one?
Yeah.
The nicest
But also I think it punches really mundane food up. So beans on toast, normal beans on toast is perfectly
basic,
fine,
but
basic.
Yeah.
Beans on toast with sourdough. Was like, how's this food of the gods happening to me? Oh my God, I could go to a 5-star restaurant. It wouldn't be as good as this.
Sourdough. Yeah.
Sourdough. Avocado, mixed seeds, and turkey bacon. I mean, you can obviously replace with your own type of bacon, but and a bit of chili sauce or peanut rayo.
Yeah. Honestly, it's punched up immediately by
it
the bread.
It just elevates the meal, doesn't it? It does.
Yeah, just get that in there. So you end up, and also when you then, if you are as sad as me, when you then try to work out the full cost of the meal, it's that while the loaf might have cost £4.50 from Marks and Spencer's, you are getting a lot of slices out of it.
Yes.
And the can of beans is Branston, and it's like 80p.
Exactly.
So this is costing you fuck all.
Oh, exactly.
and it's about as good as anything else you can have all week.
at least Michelin guides, you know?
I had a new to me, like, bread experience in the week. It was like Middle Eastern flatbread with so you put
talking.
Like spiced minced meat into it and then fry it in the flatbread.
Yeah,
and then I put it in the air fryer for a bit afterwards to make sure it was and then like dip it in like hummus or whatever dip of choice. And that was very good.
Fucking hell, that sounds dramatic. Really good. A couple of them.
That might be my Christmas one this year. when I do my Christmas turkey meal.
I had a couple of flatbreads the other day with a beef kebab from Aldi, combined with Aldi have started doing knockoff Nando's sauce. It's better than the actual stuff you get in Nando's. Yeah. It's unbelievable.
Sounds good.
A bit of that on, bang. What a Tuesday.
What a Tuesday indeed. Sounds absolutely tremendous. At some point I've bought the anchovies to do your pizza thing, because I've gone off home pizzas, but I'm going to give it a go with the anchovies.
The Sainsbury's finest, or Asda finest, just mozzarella with pesto, and then lash the anchovies on. Fuck, it's incredible.
There we are. Again, just punching up.
Yeah,
punching up.
You can make anything in a supermarket better by adding something to it.
Mm. Yep.
I firmly believe that.
Yeah, that's true.
Yeah,
don't just live by their rules that they give you.
Kick on.
Create your own.
Do you know one of my really good ones is everything bagel seasoning. So like, it's basically the stuff that you would put on if you're making everything bagel, but just the seasoning.
Yeah. Everything. Yeah, I've seen that. Yeah.
Most things.
Okay.
Most things get kicked on. All right. Next one is Jimmy, who asks, what deceased band or artist do you wish you'd seen before they passed away? He says, for me, Phil Lynott, era Thin Lizzy. He then clarified with a later message, live, by the way, in case we just thought we went at the shops. So is there anyone who you wish you'd seen prior to some passing? There's the obvious contenders here, obviously.
I mean, you'd probably just have to go to the Beatles, wouldn't you? Just for
say the Beatles or Michael Jackson or
remember Queen. Do you remember when loads of people had tickets for Michael Jackson and then he died in between them buying the tickets
going? That was quite memorable.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, harsh, that wasn't it, if you were going.
I think
for the big fans who were like,
I mean, in the grand scheme of things, it's not the biggest problem, obviously.
I would have loved to have seen him, like, at his peak, do you get what I mean?
Yeah, yeah, like when he was on an AG race course.
Yeah, exactly.
One of the maddest things that's ever happened.
One of the biggest days in Liverpool history. You're saying that, but Billy Ocean last night and Sugar Babes on Sunday are playing Bootle.
On Saturday,
sorry.
Next to the Strand. I'm going to Sugar Babes.
You going to Sugar Babes?
Yeah, going to Sugar Babes tomorrow, yeah.
Oh my gosh, you're such a hun, aren't you? I think Stephen was talking about that the other day, because his cousin lived right by Aintree, and so he remembers hearing Michael Jackson like from the garden. They just listened in the garden. He was talking about it. I think it was when the races were on, and I think he was on with Mark and Mark Chapman was like, oh, like thought he was making a joke.
Yeah, like as if.
Oh yeah, Michael Jackson playing Aintree Racecourse, and he was like, he actually did, and he was like, what? And like the producers were like, yeah, that was actually true.
Yeah.
And he was like, what?
Yeah.
What was Michael Jackson doing performing at Aintree Racecourse?
Yeah.
Who organised that?
It's been the subject of a number of Echo articles now, looking back on the madness of Michael Jackson.
I got a picture in my head of him like dodging past horses, like he's trying to run away from
him. Or like leaning back, or like just doing
walking
something.
Away from
him. I didn't even. Just such a mad thing.
Yeah, band or artist you wish you'd seen?
Probably either Small Faces or Mark Lanigan, who I had tickets to see twice and missed him, or Big Star.
Okay.
Probably.
All right. All nice enough. Christian Smith asks this: If you were a dog, which dog would you be? Is there a breed of dog you'd like to be, Phil?
Just not that into dogs to be.
Are you not that into dogs?
No, just not that arsed about
I'm
dogs.
I'm not that thinking about it. I've never seen you with a dog.
Well, that's because I've never had one.
I know, but like like a mate of a dog.
Yeah, none of my mates. I don't think any of my mates have actually got dogs either. We're not a very. My friends collectively don't have any animals, really.
You're not dog friendly.
No, my brother's got cats. That's as close as we're getting.
Okay, so so there's no maker of a dog that you'd be.
I think no.
Just think of all the dog what you
not
would
literally.
Be.
What make of a dog would you be, Kel?
Me, I'm gonna say like some type of sheepdog.
I was gonna say like you'd be good at rounding stuff up and having a job.
I'd like to be, have a purpose. Yeah, I would like to have a purpose other than
you'd
just,
be organising all the sheep and everything like.
Yeah, I'd want to be like bouncing around, you know, a lot of spit. Yeah, I want to feel like I'm achieving something and like I can actually do something as opposed to just like, play fetch. That's what I'd say.
What dog?
Probably something like either something overcommits like a golden retriever or something, or a spaniel or possibly a basset hound.
three strong answers for the type of dog that you'd want to be, and to go from there. All right, next one is, where are we? Let's do another dog-related one, although Phil will just say, well, none of them. Animal-related one, sorry. What animal that we commonly don't keep as pets should we all start thinking about keeping as pets? So what should be domesticated? What's the next animal to domesticate?
Chickens, so you can have nice fresh eggs.
Oh, no, because my friend just got chickens, and every time now I'm eating chicken, I get really sad because he's putting videos of them on Instagram, and they're really cute. And I'm like, yesterday I cooked a whole chicken in the air fryer, and it really upset me.
So not chickens for you, but chickens for Phil.
I feel like a lot of people do have chickens, don't they? Or, like, yeah, they've got the space, they'll have a coop empty for their eggs.
It's not mainstream, though, I suppose.
No, it's not mainstream.
And are they pets when they've got a job? Like, are they not working?
You can have them. You can have both.
Are they not staff?
Yeah, they can be both. I would say
they're on the payroll.
Yeah. I'm just trying to think of one. Like, pets are mad when you think about it. Why do we domesticate animals? Why? There's no need for it.
I mean, there's now more animals because of it. Is one of my positions.
Is it?
Well, yeah. You probably wouldn't if you hadn't domesticated dogs. Firstly, there wouldn't be dogs. Yeah. And secondly, there'd probably be the same number of wolves. Like, people aren't going to be suddenly more pro-wolf off the back of the lack of dog situation. So we do actually, I think there is an argument around the domestication of animals that it does lead to more animals and not less. So that's not necessarily a bad thing. I mean, for some people it might be, but I don't think it's a bad thing.
Yeah, I think, God, I'm trying to think. Maybe like foxes then, because they're the closest to being domesticated, would you say?
Well, I think if we spent 500 years sorting the fox thing out, we could have domesticated foxes.
People would have pet foxes.
Yeah. You could probably win them round, and they'd probably be more cat-like than dog-like in terms of they wouldn't be that arsed by you, but they'd probably enjoy bits of the domestication.
Yeah.
Okay. You got anything?
I'm going to go with seagulls because they eat human food anyway. And they're not scared of humans, and they just come and sit next to you.
Who would want a pet?
I would fucking seagull.
Do you know what's so mad that you've just said that? Our street's got a pet seagull now. And I'm not messing. I've got photo evidence, right? I swear down. So I think what's happened is the seagulls, when it was a baby's fallen out of its nest and so has not learned to fly. So at first it was like, oh, there's a baby seagull, just like, and it was sitting in the very in our street. Just
they don't really fly anyway, do they, baby?
Well,
seagulls?
This one they has swoop. Not flown one time, and I mean, it's just
walks around.
It just walks up and down our street. People have started feeding it because they've took pity on it because it's like, where's it going to get its food from? Because at first all the other seagulls were like, rah, if you went near it, and now they're just like, can't be arsed with that anymore.
Like that little prick.
At first when it was a baby, when it was tiny, they were protecting it and literally like dive bombing if you went anywhere near the thing. But now it I'm not joking, it's just you walk past it, it just looks at you like that. And it walks up and down. People like there's a little like micro pub at the end of our road, and it like I come out the other day and it was just staring in and I was like, if you put some soundtrack to this it would look mad. I've got so many, and I've texted my mate, I'm like, people keep feeding the seagulls, but it's getting bigger and bigger and it's going to be fully grown soon, and I'm like, it's going to turn around and it's going to start terrorising us and being like, you know what I mean, like seagulls do, but it still can't fly. Everyone's like, oh, it'll learn to fly soon. Nope, we've got a street seagull. And we've got a pet. Honestly, I'll show you.
Someone's got to take it in then, I reckon. Maybe
what are we meant to
do? Take the seagull in.
What are you meant to do?
No, you can't fuck it.
Can't toilet train him.
So many.
That's true.
For every time I come out, like, there it is again.
If you can't.
I think Becky's old boss once saw a seagull kill and eat a magpie.
Oh, yeah. That's why you just wouldn't have a pet seagull, because they are ruthless and they're just scatty. They are.
Yeah, but they did prize the entertainment.
And they're very noisy as well, to be fair.
Neil got attacked by one once, there is that, though.
I remember that.
Yeah, I mean, you say this now, like, in some way, shape, or form, it makes me odd. I think you're weird if you haven't been attacked by a single seagull.
I've had it as well. There was an ex pasty off me once.
There was a film shoot.
They love pastry.
There was a film shoot across the way last couple of weeks ago, and it was a full shoot, so there was really good quality. Fucking hell, there is your wandering seagull. Just stood in the middle of the pavement. Amazing. there was a film shoot, and it was.
Oh, God, yeah.
And so they had a really good catering van, and people were just coming and sitting outside. It was a nice day, nice days, nice week, sitting and eating the foods, and all in brown boxes as you'd expect. As I say, it's film catering. It's what it is. But what they were doing was they were just leaving the food. And I was increasingly growing livid. I'm all for, by all means, shooting the buildings around here. It's amazing. It's brilliant for the city. But I'm like, we've got a fucking seagull problem here. We've got a fucking seagull problem here.
It's not getting any better.
It's they're
already bouncing into Greg's, like the only place.
They're all, honestly.
The ones that wake up opening the fridges and taking things out.
They sit outside Man Island. There's always a row of about four of them. Yeah. Their eyes on everything all the way through. And when this catering came, I was just like, come on.
Please.
This is not going to discourage them as a group.
Unbelievable level of evolution from them, isn't it? Because they've just gone from like, nothing's happening here to fucking hell, I am zoned in on that Greg's vegan sausage roll.
And they're also in Liverpool. This can sound like you're doing, fucking hell, the Scousers having seagulls now. But our seagulls are just bigger than everywhere else's.
They're like men in seagull suits.
Yeah.
I think it is genuinely true. It's not like that. There's some Scouse exceptionalism that is nonsense. I think it's Sellafield's bigger, it is nonsense, I believe.
That could be possible, but it wouldn't surprise me if some of Sellafield's have just dropped down the coast.
Yeah, and decided
words travel. Get a fair bit out.
They go to Morecambe for the weekend.
Yeah. Honestly, I was like, I can't believe it at times. And then you go somewhere else and they'll be a bit like, these are seagulls, are they? You're messing.
Yeah.
Can't batter these. I think it's absolutely mad. The seagull situation. Everyone's just got to sort of calm it down. All right. Did you domesticate anything?
I had chickens, wasn't it?
You had chickens, yeah.
Chickens
as you've gone through. All right. Here's a cocktail list in an Arran pub. And it's £10 each. Graham Faulkner says, you're drinking them all. I don't think you are. But he wants to know what's your first, middle and last. So I'm going to say you're going to have three, and what order you're going to have them in. These are classics.
Oh.
So you've got your espresso martini, your Bloody Mary, your French martini, your Cuba Libre. You've got your old-fashioned Le Peach, a Negroni. Nothing fancy about it. Margarita, a long vodka, which is vodka, lemonade, lime, Angostura, bitters. And a strawberry daiquiri. What three are you having then? First, second, and third.
There's no spritzers in there.
You could possibly the daiquiri. I reckon you could ask them to put a bit of lemonade in.
Yeah. So a French martini is
Vodka, Chambord, and pineapple juice.
Okay. Yeah, I'll have one of them.
It's a refreshing one, that, isn't it?
Well, start off with one of them, like to kind of have a, cool down. What have you? It's nice drinking pop. And then a Negroni and then an old fashioned.
Okay, solid. Kel?
Yeah, okay. I would have a margarita probably first. I would have said an espresso martini, but I've knocked them on the head because I just think coffee of an evening.
You don't need it.
I don't need it. what were the other ones, Ellie?
So you've got the French martini, the Bloody Mary, the Cuba Libre, the old fashioned.
Hate Bloody Marys.
I can't stand Bloody Marys.
Knock me sick. I'd take French martini, and then margarita, French martini.
What are you finishing with?
I don't know. I've never had a Le Peach, I don't think, but I think I'd like to try.
Yeah, Le Peach is the thing on the list here that I'm quite.
I'm intrigued by it.
It's 10 year Arran. Martini extra dry, peach liqueur, and agave syrup.
So
agave syrup.
The main question is, why are we not drinking that now?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Sounds good though.
I think Le Peach is.
Instead of
cloudy lemon cider.
The Le Peach, I think, is a strong candidate here. What else are you having with the Le Peach?
Old fashioned.
Yeah.
I fucking love an old fashioned, and I think. It's either a margarita or a daiquiri, and I think can I have the daiquiri frozen?
It's like a pudding, isn't it?
Can I have it frozen?
Yeah, you can have it frozen.
Then I'm having the daiquiri then.
Okay, that's smart. I like it. Jonathan Husband asks this. I think all of your answers will be like, but then I want to talk about what your game is. Do you like or loathe IKEA?
I like it less than I thought I did. Last time I went with my parents a couple of weeks ago.
Well, that sounds awful.
To try, well, it was my mum's birthday as well, to try to buy a kitchen. But didn't buy a kitchen. My dad kept moaning and he couldn't get over how long it was.
All of it?
Yeah, he's like, well, what were you looking at this? And he's like, well, try, you can't get back.
Was it the Warrington IKEA?
No, it was in Sheffield.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. But I had
Do you follow a formula?
I had a really good meatball and chips kind of thing. Yeah. So that was good. But not as good as it used to be, would be my...
Not as good as it used to be?
Like the little kind of things that you can get to have around your house that used to be quite quirky.
Yeah.
Like, there's less of that.
IKEA?
A bit serious.
Something in common with Manchester United and the Labour Party. Phil?
I don't loathe it, so I'm more on the like side, I would say. But how much can you really like a shop that sells flat pack furniture?
But what's your game when you go in? What are you looking for?
I know, I would only, I don't browse shit like that. I will go in and I will know what I want.
Solely for purpose?
And I will probably have done click and collect anyway.
Have you ever done the clearance in IKEA?
No.
It's quite exciting.
Oh, it's, yeah.
Is it chaos?
Yeah.
Is it?
It's a bit like, it's a bit like an IKEA meets TK Maxx vibe.
Yeah. Like Next, when people used to turn up at 6 a.m. on Boxing Day.
Remember that? Yeah.
Sort of, but no one really knows it's there. It's chaotic in that like everything's just completely disorganised and so, like loads of it's been show stuff that now they've run out of. So there's one more every now and again. There's something that's a little bit damaged, but you can ultimately
use. I bought a child's plastic coffee table. Really hard to get rid of when I was moving house.
Yeah,
not many kids do drink coffee.
I didn't realise it was a child's coffee table. I just thought it was a cute coffee table, and then I was like, oh no, it's actually a child.
Yeah, so the clearance bit is, it's a bit Wild West, okay. but I would, like, it's the bit I look forward to. So that's my IKEA thing, is that I go around IKEA, it goes on forever, there's loads of things I'm not interested in, you've got to walk the walk, but then I'm like, be clearance in a minute.
The textiles were really disappointing last time I was in there. I was expecting better bedding and more interesting stuff.
Yeah. I quite like the. I think it's useful on kitchen bits.
I was gonna say like the, you know, like the coffee mugs and like the chopping board. I love that section more than like the big stuff.
Yeah, I'm the same.
Yeah, and like the little plants or like desk organizer things.
All my favorite bits of I'm very second half of IKEA.
Yeah,
first half of IKEA is not my business.
None of my business.
I'm a very much a passenger, and then I grow with interest until we get to the very end and the clearance, and then I come alive.
Like these mad utensils that you didn't know you need, and you're like, I need one of them.
That worked perfectly for me. Yep. So that is my IKEA. Yeah. First half, no.
I think last time I went, I bought a cutlery organiser and some forest sauce, and that was my entire purchases.
What's forest sauce?
It's the stuff you get for meatballs, but in powder.
Fucking hell.
Yeah.
Hello.
I like the sound of the forest sauce, big time.
Yeah.
Next one is Paul Alexander, who asks, what's the best one-hit wonder? I am going to be very strict on the definition of one-hit wonder. You cannot, for instance, have Wicked Game by Chris Isaak.
Why not?
Because Blue Motel also charted.
No idea.
Blue Motel. I always forget what is a one-hit wonder. What? As in, I know what a one-hit wonder is, but I mean, I always forget.
Which songs were and weren't.
Yeah. I feel like when music channels used to be a thing, that like I knew what one-hit wonders were because they'd have like a thing where it was like top 20 one-hit wonders.
Yeah.
Found a playlist, a Spotify playlist called One-Hit Wonders.
Go on.
Mostly be going no after you say the name.
Mostly bollocks. Like Roger Sanchez, Another Chance. There's no chance Roger Sanchez only did one song.
No, Roger Sanchez
100%
is, Madison Avenue, Don't Call Me Baby, they definitely didn't.
They had a
second song.
Yeah.
Corner Shop, Brimful of Asher. I don't think they had more than one.
They had Sleep on the Left Side.
Load of shite fucking loads of albums.
That was in terms of the hits. Like
it must be old. Charlie XCX.
Yeah,
this is the shittest
I've
ever seen.
Yeah.
Soft Cell.
Yeah, Soft Cell had loads of stuff.
Well, one of the issues now with the one-hit wonder thing is, I mean, less so with Charlie XCX, but I noticed the other day there was like an American list of one-hit wonders, and like there was a fella who was adamantly arguing that Come On Eileen by Dexys Midnight Runners, and very patiently English people saying they had about four fucking number ones in a year.
This is legitimately a terrible.
Oh, well, I'm American. He ended up saying, "Well, who gives a fuck?"
Because Come On Eileen was number two, I think. But Gino's
number one. Yeah, Gino's number one.
Fat Man Scoop simply cannot be on a one hit wonder.
No, absolutely not, and it's disrespectful to the great man.
Mambo Number 5.
I mean, that is.
He had a bit more.
I read somewhere that there was a Mambo Number 6 as well, but I cannot remember.
It wasn't a hit,
that.
Though. Let's be honest.
Yeah.
The answer is I don't know, because the thing about one hit wonders is I can never quite get the definition right in terms of what it actually is.
I think I have a few.
But also, I can just generally never like remember the songs because the people that made them are theoretically forgettable, hence why they only did one song.
Yeah.
Sounds a bit harsh, but that they had one hit wonder because they were ultimately not very good.
Yeah, no, even absolutely.
The song was about.
What have you got?
So I'm going to give you three.
Go on.
Wilson Phillips, Hold On. Because I don't think that they had other hits.
I reckon they must have had an America, but go on anyway.
Maria McKee, Show Me Heaven, even though she wrote A Good Heart for Fergal Sharkey, that didn't chart when she recorded it. And New Radicals, Get What You Give.
Okay, yeah. My Sharona.
Yeah, I don't like it because the like Nirvana stuff and kind of I didn't like I just get tired with a lot of them.
You fucked on Wilson Fiddlers, by the way. They had like two top five albums in the US.
Really?
In the UK, also the top 10, two top 10 albums in the UK.
There's an American magazine here that said the 50 greatest one hit wonders of all time, from Gnarls Barkley, which is close but not quite. 99
Red Balloons as well.
To Dexy's Midnight Runners, to Sinead O'Connor.
I mean, it's a bit harsh.
A bit harsh?
It's exceptionally harsh.
Sinead O'Connor, definitely. Like the Baha Men, you can have the Baha Men with Who Let the Dogs Out. I reckon that's a genuine one hit wonder.
Where it's like, it's a no more band, but they had one song that just went mad, as opposed to like, oh, technically they only had number one. Do you get what I mean? But they had a long success.
Wilson Phillips were nominated for two Grammys. One was for Hold On, another one for a song called You're in Love.
They're going to say for best album.
Yeah, it's worth saying that, that I'm on their greatest hits now, Wilson Phillips. Hold On is song one. Yeah. On their greatest hits. Song three is You're in Love. Song two is a song called You Won't See Me Cry.
It says there's a lot of covers on it.
LP version here. As we then wear on, there is Daniel, the Elton John cover. There's A Conversation with Wilson Phillips, which is backing you up. There is then Hotel California, live in Japan, 8 minutes 52.
The children of the Mamas and Papas and somebody from something else.
Yeah. The Hotel California, previously unreleased, 8 minutes 52 long, sounds uniquely bad. And then there's a Hold On live in Japan, this is on the greatest hits. So maybe, just maybe.
Move Your Feet by Junior Senior.
That's a cracking song, yeah. I like that one a great deal. Okay, I think we've sort of got somewhere here, even if not where we'd like. Mike, asks on Blue Sky, which of the Enfield Rap contributors would make the best lead detective in a murder mystery series?
Gutman, isn't it?
I mean, it's quirky BBC One Sunday Night.
Exactly, that's it. That's why.
I think Steve Graves.
I was just about to say, maybe
a journalist.
Yeah, exactly. So
maybe as a double axe.
Yeah, double axe.
It's almost like an inverse Holmes and Watson situation where Gutman is constantly coming to hugely elaborate and complex conclusions, and Steve's saying, have you just thought about this?
Yeah.
And then Rob has to sort of go, no, but my thing's right, and then Steve's version is always the correct version of events. But and then by the end of it, Rob's version of events all along.
Yeah, the whole show is Steve talking Rob round.
Yeah. Yes. That is, as is most of my experiences of going places with Steve and Rob.
It's basically... Yeah. In the first 5 minutes.
Yeah. I can imagine Steve. Rob with one of those boards with all the little strings on it
like they always
show. Although, now I've said that, Martin Fitzgerald could also be.
He's like an incidental character.
You say this, but he's not solved the JFK thing, has he? So.
No, but he's giving it a go.
He's not a support character in this. He makes useful hints and tips in this thing that we're currently pitching that I think, by the way, could work, and if anybody wants.
I think it would, because he's an eccentric character, isn't he? And they're always the
Stu Mather to write it. He likes that kind of stuff. We'll get Julio to ask him.
Well, just like
Does he class as a contributor?
I don't know, but
fucking hell, I'd watch that.
What I quite want in our version, though, is that Rob plays himself and Steve's played by some sort of Freddie, what's his name? Some sort of up and coming young actor, young buck.
Yeah, basically, the first 5 minutes it is basically Steve telling him what's happened, and then the next 55 is Rob investigating stuff to conclude that the first 5 minutes hypothesis was correct.
Every week.
Yeah.
Every week.
Might not get very far as a programme if they basically reveal the end at the start and it's Rob investigating.
Yeah, I suppose you'd have to mix it up a bit, wouldn't you?
Yeah. Steve might have to be wrong sometimes.
Yeah. From time to time. We'll go from there. Next one, maybe one of the last ones, is if you could go 1,000 years backwards or 1,000 years forwards in a time machine, which way would you choose?
Forward.
Forward?
Probably. You know everything that happened backwards, didn't you?
I don't know everything that happened.
Well, no, not everything.
How were pyramids built?
Yeah. Wouldn't you be going into the literal dark ages?
You're not actually finding that out.
You're going into the literal dark ages, wouldn't you?
Also,
if you went 1,000 years back.
1,000 years back?
1,000 years backwards would fucking stink. Dark ages. Horrible. It would stink.
Yeah, and it would be disgusting, actually, I think.
You'd live to be like 13.
Your teeth would be horrific. Yeah. You'd like...
You're only going for an hour.
True.
I mean, that's not true.
You're just adding that. But I mean, like, you're not...
But I think in the future we might not even exist. It'll just be like computers doing all of our jobs and we have to do all the boring, awful stuff that we hate doing.
That's something to look forward to.
I feel like out of, yeah, I think most people would say 1,000 years into the future, yeah. Just out of pure curiosity. Yeah,
to see what it looked like.
Because,
like,
we know a lot less about the 1,000 years from the future.
You wouldn't be able to experience 1,000 years ago by, like, reading, but you can read and find out what it was like.
Yes.
Yeah. Whereas you can't, because it hasn't happened yet.
Yeah, there is document. Yeah. Like, yeah, it is documented.
Okay. Last one is, but I think it's a good one. Stephen Barrett asks this. When's the end of summer?
Do you know what's so funny is I had this conversation because I don't have kids. And so, like, I bumped into some friends and they were like, oh, this was in the middle of July. And they were like, oh, you know, summer's finally here. And I went, are you messing? It's nearly over for me. In my head, summer is nearly over because it's been, I think summer starts like the end of, beginning of June. That's when it starts. And then for me, it ends the end of August. Like, but, so to me, I'm like well into it, into the summer, but because their kids have just broken up for school, it's like the summer started and like, I was made up to that day. I had that perspective because I was like, oh, that makes me feel better. There's still like a lot of summer to go.
Or a proportionate amount of summer.
A proportionate amount of summer. But like, to me, it's over on the 1st of September because like that's when you went back to school. Yeah.
So you because since you've left school, your summer now starts earlier, but it still finishes school term.
Yeah, it still finishes school term. Like, in my head, I'm like, September's the end of summer.
I think it kind of goes in football seasons. So sort of the start of summer is like May, and the end of summer is like the 9th or 10th of August when the football season starts again. So it might be loosely summery. Also, I spent a lot of years really, 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 really hating autumn. Because I had a stressful job that got much worse in September, October. And now that's less so. I'm kind of like, oh, you know, jumpers and leaves and it not being stupidly hot all the time. And I quite look forward to it now, so. But yeah, I think the summer ends on... By August Bank Holiday weekend, the summer's already packed its bags. And it's ready to, like, leave the campsite.
Bank holiday, August is almost like a summer reprieve of, like,
yeah.
It's over, but then everyone's having a, like, last hurrah in the summer bank holiday.
But after that, it's definitely done.
What are you thinking? I used to base it around sports. Like, I used to have it as when the last test match finished, but they fucking ruined that now, haven't they? Because the last test match finished this week. So you can't claim that anymore. So I think it... To go around another sport, it might be when the NFL season starts, which is usually like the first or second week in September.
Yeah.
Which just because it finishes in the depths of winter, it sort of feels like a conduit to that.
Yeah.
Or maybe after the first international break as well. Like it feels like you have like a partial bit of football summer.
Yeah.
And then it's not summer anymore when you come back after that.
Yeah, the first three games of the season are like, that's one of the ways that are their own thing.
Yeah, yeah.
Because also when they come
back. No European football, there's no.
So suddenly you're going and watching them in the night and it's dark and a bit cold.
Yeah. Like you're walking the ground for a night match and it's still light.
Yeah.
Whereas you're not doing that in any of the September games you can go to.
No. So I think I think this year I'm going to try and push it to October because I'm thinking about going on holiday in October. So just with a bit of luck, I'm going to. Because I started summer on the 27th of April.
Yeah.
That was the start of summer.
Summer of Atkinson.
So I may as well just try to push the thing right the way into mid-October.
I'd drag it out as long as... Sometimes, like, the weather goes a bit shit in August, but then we get some really mad nice next week, weather in September.
They've put a weather warning out for next week.
Really?
Yeah.
Is this not fake for news? Here.
No, genuinely, they put a weather warning out Monday to Wednesday. It's going to be, like, over 30 in parts of the country.
Oh, God.
Wait. In a good way?
Yeah.
Oh, you were saying that in a negative way then?
No, I just said it in a way.
In your way?
Yeah, maybe.
Neutral Phil.
Neutral Phil. But when you said weather warning, I immediately think, like,
it's gonna, thunder like, yeah, and rain. Wet weather.
But
see, for me, weather warning is anything over 22 degrees.
Oh, no, that's, like, amazing. That's, like...
27.
Say it with that energy.
27 on Tuesday.
Oh, my gosh. There we go. See? Love it. Yeah. Summer's still going. It is going to go on till...
You'll be on the course at 5:45.
I'll be on the golf course. I will.
5:45 on your way around.
Yeah, I'll be there. Don't you worry.
In the half light. Excellent stuff. All right. Thank you very much indeed to Phil, to Anna and to Kelly. Whatever you're going to do with this weather warning news for next week, all the best with it all the way through.